Now, remember, our theme today is peak performance. And I thought it'd be kind of interesting with all the emphasis this week in the major leagues on the All-Star game. I thought it'd be kind of interesting to focus on those who are working to achieve peak performance in baseball, but who haven't arrived at the major leagues yet. For every A-Rod or for every Albert Pujols, there are thousands of baseball players in the minor leagues who never make it to the big show. Our next guests have two very distinct points of view on minor league baseball in America. First guest is Scott Price. His prose has graced the pages of Sports Illustrated since 1994. The New York Times writes, he's a seasoned reporter, he's a master of the new journalism developed by Hunter Thompson and Pete Hamill. Whenever he writes about sports, or the craft of writing for that matter, he hits it over the fence. Nice baseball analogy there. Price has covered a variety of subject matters in his time at Sports Illustrated, including minor league baseball player coach Mike Coolbaugh, who we'll be talking about today, tennis great Pancho Gonzalez, and many, many others. His latest book is titled The Heart of the Game, Life, Death, and Mercy in the Minor League America. It's the story of how, on July 22, 2007, minor league baseball player Tino Sanchez Jr. hit a foul ball that struck the team's recently hired first base coach, Mike Coolbaugh, of the Tulsa Drillers, that was a Rockies AA minor league team, at the precise point on the back of his neck to cut off the blood to his brain, and it killed him immediately. My other guest is Scott Lane. He's the president of the West Michigan Whitecaps, that is a Class A affiliate of the Detroit Tigers. The Whitecaps are a member of the 16-team Midwest League. The Whitecaps play 70 games at home and 70 games on the road. Home for them is the Fifth Third Ballpark. It's a privately owned stadium built in conjunction with the Whitecaps' arrival when they started business back in 1994, and they're located in Comstock Park, Michigan. Gentlemen, both Scotts, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me as well.
Both of you, glad to have you on the show. Minor league baseball, great subject, love it. Billy the Brain is a major baseball fan. I'm going to start with you, Scott Price, if I could, please. Many of our listeners are going to want to know right off the bat, oh boy, no pun intended there, what's it like writing for Sports Illustrated? For many of us, that would be a dream job.
Well, you know, I have three brothers, and they still think I get to go on swimsuit shoots. You know, I mean, that's really what it's all about for them and most people. Unfortunately, that's not my job. Or fortunately, actually, I would say. It's great. I mean, you know, somebody pays me to go around the world and ask people questions, and to tell you the truth, that's something I would do for free. Don't tell my bosses.
I won't, but our first guest was talking about just that thing. Clearly you love what you do, Scott, so that is great. And by the way, both of my guests, Scott Lane and Scott Price, you're both named Scott, so I'm going to call you by your first and last name just so we can keep things straight on this. All right, well, Scott Price, back to you again. What compelled you to write the book, The Heart of the Game? I mean, and what did you get out of writing it?
Well, I went down in the fall of 2007, a few weeks after Mike Coolbaugh had been killed by the foul ball, and had done a story for the magazine on the incident. Met with Mike's wife, sat down with Tino Sanchez, and a lot of people involved with the incident. And look, there were four people in the ballpark that night who just coincidentally had great personal experience with the damage a baseball could do. So between Mike and Tino. Mike had 17 years in the minor leagues. Tino had 11. I really felt that for the first time in my career, that the magazine story just wasn't big enough to contain all the different elements of the story. And I thought this was an opportunity to try and tell through these two men's lives what the texture and feel of minor league baseball is, and how tough it really truly can be. And I wanted to also give a sense of how important it is in the rest of the country.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. It is a very compelling story. If you haven't read the book, folks, you need to run out and get this. Even if you don't like baseball, this is a great book talking about people who love what they're doing. It's titled Heart of the Game, Life, Death, and Mercy in the Minor Leagues. Scott, what price? What did you get out of writing the book, though? I mean, yes, it's a compelling story, but...
Well, I mean, I've never worked on a story that had this much... It just raised so many questions for me. I mean, there were so many coincidences that led up to what happened to Mike. Spiritually, it was an eye opener because Mike was a guy who did not, for example, think much about death. But then, in the 4 months up to his death, he was talking about it more and more. And he, for example, his two kids, his two boys, he'd go out in the front yard and work with them on their swings. And this was a time when his wife, Mandy Kobal, would usually rest. And suddenly Mike was insisting, look, I want you to come out and watch me teach the boys how to hit, just in case something happens to me, so you'll be able to teach them in case I'm gone. She'd say, Mike, what's wrong? That's crazy. But that was of a piece of something was going on with Mike. And there were a lot of coincidences. Tino was working as the de facto hitting coach of this team and wanted the job that Mike got. And yet Tino's the one who reached out to Mike when he first joined the team, really on a fluke in the middle of the 2007 season. He got the job because the previous hitting coach had left in midseason. And instead of being resentful, Tino reached out to Mike, and he was the guy who really helped him learn the ropes of the job, even though Mike was the guy who took his job that he wanted. And Mike was so grateful that he kept asking Tino, let me take you out to lunch. And Tino kept putting him off, and finally the day before the accident, they went out to lunch, and it turned out that, you know, Mike's wife was pregnant with their third child, and Tino's was pregnant with their first child. And as soon as Mike heard that, Tino said Mike's face completely changed. They'd been telling war stories to each other like all minor leaguers do. And all of a sudden he said Tino, he just couldn't get more excited about Tino's change in his life with a family. He said, and that's when Tino said to me, that's when I understood how much Mike loved his family. And that sort of connection between the two of them really led to an anguish on Tino's part that was incredibly profound. And the depth of this story just kept going for me, and it rippled out, and it stays with me to this day.
Wow, that just made the hair on my arms stand up. Everybody, we're talking to Scott Price and Scott Lane. We're talking minor league baseball, which is the subject today because all of the emphasis in the other media is on Major League Baseball and the All-Star Game. Now, gentlemen, both of you, there's an old saying in baseball that you spend about half of your life trying to grip a baseball, and in the end, it's the other way around. Scott Lane, from your perspective as the president of the West Michigan Whitecaps, how true is that statement?
Well, I think it's very true. You know, first of all, Scott Price, I'd like to say I have read the book, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. Quite an impact on me. I mean,
oh, thank you.
You know, we heard about it when it happened. You know, minor league baseball is a small world, and you know, it impacted everyone. And it was just a well-written book, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I passed it around the office here. You know, Bill, you know, minor league baseball is, I've been in it 23 years, and it's, you know, it's a love of mine, as you know. I've been, you know, I've always wanted to be in sports, and I wasn't the athlete that I wanted to be. And I happened to get into the business side of baseball, and you know, it's one of those things that I love coming to work every day. I come to a ballpark to work, and I've worked for three different organizations, and I've spent the last 17 years here in the West Michigan market, and it gets in your blood, and I think I'll probably retire, you know, in the minor leagues. I have no desire whatsoever to get a position in the major leagues. Maybe when I was a little bit younger I did, but it didn't happen, so I'm very happy where I am.
Oh, that's great. Scott Price, what would you say about that? I mean, why is minor league baseball so compelling? Why is baseball in general so compelling?
Well, I'll tell you, this accident had a profound effect on people in Major League Baseball as well, and I think it goes to the heart of your question, which is those major leaguers even understood that if they didn't know a Mike Kulbaugh, if they themselves weren't Mike Kulbaugh, they either knew a Mike Kulbaugh or understood that they could easily, with a freak injury or a very not even a freak injury, a normal injury or some kind of slip in the political process or just being overlooked in a way, they could have been a Mike Kulbaugh. Mike was a Triple A All-Star many times over, hit over 200 home runs. He was a guy who was this close to the major leagues, but for a lot of, you know, injuries and so on, would have been a major leaguer. I don't know that he would have been a star, but he certainly could have contributed off the bench, no question. But I think there's a recognition with the minor leagues that that there isn't with the majors, which is, you know, I don't know really what it means to be William Faulkner or Herman Melville. I'm a sports writer, okay? But I know what greatness is, but I like most people, probably am not going to reach that level. And so with minor leaguers, we have an identification that they're like us. You know, they're not making millions of dollars. They're scrabbling by. They're trying their best, giving their best out of the spotlight, and really trying to express themselves in the toughest of circumstances. I mean, you know, we all know hitting a curveball is probably the toughest thing in sports, and there's a dignity in that, and I think that there's a great appreciation from minor league fans for the sport, and really for baseball fans in general, because we recognize ourselves when we watch minor leaguers out there playing.
Well said. I like that. We're talking to Scott Price and Scott Lane about minor league baseball. Scott Lane, this one is for you. Now, baseball organizations have to pigeonhole players very early in their playing careers in order to make it easier to evaluate them for the major leagues. What's the rationale behind evaluating players in this way?
Well, Bill, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, we're an affiliate of the Detroit Tigers. So all the baseball moves, the drafting of the players, the player moves during the season, that all comes from Detroit. And basically what we get is a phone call saying, hey, we're moving Jacob Turner. Jacob Turner was the Tigers' number one draft choice.
Mm.
And we lobbied for him to start the season here. He's an 18-year-old kid.
Wow.
He was out of St. Louis. So he came here, and I'm from St. Louis, so I started talking to the guy. Great kid.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't tear up the league. I mean, he's. I think he signed for about $6 million, so they had a lot of money in him.
Right.
And I think he was 2-3. His ERA was around 3.75. Not tearing it up.
Mm.
And then they moved him. They moved him a couple of weeks ago. And so, you know, I have no say in that at all. I really, my job in our organization, we sell tickets, we sell advertising, self-promotion. Tonight, for example, we're having a 10-cent hot dog night. It's National Hot Dog Month.
That's right.
You know, that's what we do. So what, you know, when the fans come to me and say, man, your team, they're terrible this year, I throw up my hands and I say, yep, we are. It's all Detroit.
You are. Have a 10-cent hot dog.
Exactly. So I don't, we don't have hardly anything to do with the baseball side of things. We just happen to work our offices at a ballpark. So when the Tigers make these moves, we just say, okay, good move, bad move. We're just like, we're fans like you and me, you know?
Gotcha.
So what we really push for, Bill, is rehab assignments. You know, that's something that at our level, especially single A, you know, Ordonez came back and rehabbed here. Not too long ago.
And that's a huge draw for you. It brings out the fans in droves.
It was a Monday night, typically our worst night. We would average probably about 4,200 on that night. You know, we had 10,000. So
wow.
That's what we really lobby for. If somebody goes down, we don't want anybody to go down. But, you know, we keep our eye on that. And then, you know, I will call Dave Dombrowski and say, hey, what does Ordonez think about playing here? And we really throw out the red carpet. And what's interesting to see is these minor league ball players who are living the dream when an Ordonez comes in, how they react. They react like I react. You
sure.
know, they're just kids, and they're getting autographs, and Ordonez will go out and buy food for everybody. So it's a cool experience to see one of these big leaguers come down here and react.
That's great. We're talking to Scott Lane and Scott Price. We're talking minor league baseball. We've got to stop and do some business here, both Scots. But when we come back, my question for both of you is going to be this. Are the minor leagues a reflection of the melting pot of American society the way they once were? Don't answer that now. When we come back after this short break, I'll ask you both that question. And now, just a short break, and join us when we come back.
In business today, time is money. So when your office computers or servers go down, so does your income. Locally owned and operated IT The Works will respond quickly and professionally, getting you up and running and making money. IT The Works services include everything from scheduled maintenance to updates to virus removal, backup, and data recovery. There is nothing they can't or won't do to earn your business. If you are frustrated with your current computer services, or if your IT plan has you wondering what you're paying for, give IT The Works a call. They will accurately determine your needs and provide you an affordable service estimate. Making the decision to change is sometimes difficult and overwhelming. With IT The Works, Anthony will create a seamless transition with a personal touch, not often experienced in the IT world. Give Anthony Ellis a call at 479-1605 or visit IT The Works website at ittheworks.com. Once again, that number is 479-1605.
Hi, everybody. This is Coach Ron Tunick, sharing with you my thoughts about a very caring, family-owned business right here in Ventura called DMC Transmissions. Now, I don't know a thing about transmissions. You all know that. But DMC Transmissions knows everything about your transmission. Here's what they know. DMC Transmission knows how to create that very special experience that says we care, we listen, and we're going to get the job right the first time. DMC Transmissions, right there at the corner of Seward and Thompson. Give them a call, 652-2221, 652-2221. Seward and Thompson, say hi to Donnie for me at DMC Transmissions.
Attention small business owners. Did you know that you could save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a month on your business phone costs? You want to know more? Then just pick up the phone and call Access Line Communications. You not only save on service, you can even get a complete phone system for your office at 0% financing. That's just dollars a day. Call 1-888-510-5955 today or visit accessline.com/thecoach. Tell the salesperson that your promo code is The Coach, and you'll get a free Visa gift card with your purchase. Check it out today.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What? Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Billy the Brain. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 o'clock here on AM 1400 KKZZ or streaming over the internet at 1400kkzz.com. And today we're talking baseball. I've got two Scotts, Scott Price and Scott Lane, both of them involved in minor league baseball in some way or another. Scott Price is the author of the book Heart of the Game, Life, Death, and Mercy in Minor League America. And Scott Lane is the president of the West Michigan Whitecaps minor league baseball team. Before we went to break, I asked both of you, are the minor leagues today in baseball a reflection of the melting pot of American society? Scott Price, what do you say to that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, in the sense that, you know, if all signs hold up, we're an increasingly Latino nation. And on the minor league level, especially at the low levels, you have a lot of players from Latin America, more and more from the Dominican, of course, and Venezuela and other countries coming in. And you got some clubhouses speaking a lot of Spanish and not much English, because these are kids coming 17, 18 years old from the Dominican or down south and you know, still getting their legs under them when it comes to the language. So in that sense, absolutely. You know, the country is turning darker, I guess they say. You know, that's what's happening in baseball as well. It's a Latino influence is pervasive, and it's been a positive thing for baseball.
Scott Lane, are you seeing that with the West Michigan Whitecaps? Is that hold true?
Without a doubt. Our roster this year was 50% Latino, and that's unheard of. It goes so far as the Detroit Tigers, in the last probably 8 years, they have English teachers come in, and all the Latin ball players come in when we're at home, and they're in English class for about they come to the ballpark about an hour and a half before the rest of the team to take English lessons. So without a doubt, that's very, very true.
And I will tell you, that's one reason why I wanted to do this book. Tino Sanchez is from Puerto Rico, and you know, came to baseball speaking only Spanish, and he had a very hard time, and they had a hard time with his attitude, and he felt very isolated and cut off, and it really took him a while to sort of not only understand America, but the code of baseball as well, as translated through the language. And that transition for him is what was difficult at the beginning, and it's what sort of made him as a baseball player eventually, and what made him take on the blame for Mike Kulbaugh's death so profoundly, because he felt this code so deeply. But he had to get through the language problems. He had to get through the isolation, and it was a very tough transition for him.
Wow.
Oh, it's a tough transition for our kids, without a doubt. They, you know, I've heard the horror stories that they will go to Denny's to eat all the time because they don't have to speak. They can just point at the venue.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, things like that. One
and,
thing
the, and these are 18-year-old kids, you know, especially
yeah.
on Scott's level. I mean, they're very young. So
yeah.
It's a tough thing to be sent, you know, not only to be away from home, but to be cut off language-wise as well from the culture around you.
Yeah, very.
One thing we've done here, and we've had it ever since I've been here for 17 years, we have a Keep a Cap family promotion, if you will. Every one of our ball players in the 17 years have stayed with family.
No, that's a great program, and that gets them indoctrinated. It helps them with the language and everything. I think that.
And the Hispanic players stay with Hispanic families, so that really helps them along with the transition.
I bet it does. Let's turn our attention to the business of baseball for just a minute, if we can. Many of our listeners listening to the sound of our voice are familiar with franchises of various types. There's McDonald's, Burger King, Chevron Gasoline, Hilton Hotels, etc. Those are all franchises. From a business standpoint, time was when owning a minor league baseball franchise was a great investment. Today, is owning a minor league franchise as lucrative as it once was? And is owning the stadium where they play the key to the financial success of a team? Scott Lane?
Not necessarily owning the team. We were one of the first teams to actually go it alone. We were involved with the Kane County franchise, and the lease was that we paid 10% to the Forest Preserve who built the ballpark. So you don't have to put up the money to pay for the ballpark, but you pay 10% of your gross to them as rent. And, you know, why not pay the bank that and own something? So we control everything here. There's more work involved with it, but, you know, we run our own concessions. We run our own parking. There are revenue streams that we see that other teams do not see. You know, our labor costs are more than others, but so are our revenues. So we would rather do that. I would rather control it. I dealt with two other franchises, the Rockford Expos in Rockford, Illinois, and then Kane County. And, you know, you're somewhat at odds with the county government, and you have two different agendas, which makes doing business on a day-to-day level a little more difficult.
Gotcha. We're talking to two Scotts, Scott Price and Scott Lane. We're talking about minor league baseball. Scott Price, you wrote, "The pressure to perform is crushingly heavy. The financial cushion is virtually non-existent, and the line between the haves and the have-nots in minor league baseball is very pronounced." What did you mean by that? And then, Scott Lane, I'm going to ask you to comment. Is that true or false?
Mm-hmm. Well, the fact is that this is a tough existence. These guys are not making millions of dollars, and they're not guaranteed contracts, and they're basically in a situation for the most part where failure is a constant threat, and as a result, you know, it's not as Scott. Chris Burke of the Houston Astros told me, it's not when ball players talk about a love of the game, it's not a Field of Dreams love of the game. He said it's a love hate relationship. You want to beat baseball because there's a lot of politics involved, and there's a lot of heart. Everybody's got an I got screwed story if they're in the minors long enough. But when they get on the field, they absolutely love their time there, and they sort of forget that. But as Scott Kulbaugh told me, he's also a lifer coach, like his brother Mike was, and he said, you know, you get out there for 3 hours and you remember why you're there. He said, but then you get off the field and you go back to being pissed off again. It's a tough existence. This is not a gauzy romantic place to be. But it's incredibly attractive to both the players and the fans, and I understand completely why.
Scott Lane, would you agree with that?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, but being a minor league baseball player is work. I mean, think about it, especially of our level. You play 140 games. These kids, you know, getting out of high school or college, this is the most baseball they've ever played. You get on a bus, you drive to Clinton, money, it's a tough existence. And you know, the guys that stick with it and can't get luck. Somebody goes down. I mean, it takes luck in this game, and it's a brutal existence. And I mean, our radio guy goes on the road too. But he drives himself, and you know, we've been through quite a few because the lifestyle is just drains you.
Gotcha. We're talking to Scott Lane and Scott Price. We're talking about minor league baseball. I want to bring up a more recent major league incident that happened. We know about the tragic story about Mike Coolbaugh and how he died tragically being struck by a baseball. But more recently, Juan Encarnacion of the St. Louis Cardinals was hit by a foul ball while he was waiting in the on-deck circle in a major league game. And that ended his career. And now he's in a fight just to regain his normal life again. Aren't these types of accidents maybe not as severe as Juan Encarnacion's or Mike Coolbaugh's, but aren't they part of the game? Scott Price, what would you say to that?
Well, I think it's far more part of the game than people really understand. I mean, you talk to any minor league, anybody who spent any time in the minor leagues of any length, and they will have a horror story about, you know, somebody being, you know, damaged by a baseball. And I will tell you that the biggest concern, at least with my experience in talking to managers and players, was they said, look, our livelihood is based on looking at the ball at all times. We're concentrated on that ball in a way that fans could never be. And as a result, they say what we're worried about is the fan in the stands. And everybody has a story about a line drive rocketing into the stands and doing some serious damage there. You know, Mike Coolbaugh in 2005, his wife moved from behind the screen to go talk to a friend during a game. Mike walked off the field during the game, during play, and wouldn't go back on, was shooing his wife back behind the screen because he was extremely fearful of what could happen with a rocketing baseball. And, you know, for me, I personally think that the netting should go all the way out to the outfield fence. And you know, in San Angelo, Texas, just this month, a fan was killed by a ball, by a foul ball. So this is something that happens. Not that often does somebody get killed, but certainly there are injuries, and people should be alert when they go to a ballpark.
Well, and very well said. And just recently we had a fan who was chasing a foul ball, fell out of the upper tier of a Major League Baseball stadium, fell I don't know how many feet down below. And so, yes, there's a lot of tragedy there. Scott Lane, minor league baseball and injuries. What would you say about that?
Well, and I understand what Scott's saying. I was down on the field recently for BP. And I mean, if you've ever stood there and watch BP, you have guys pitching BP, you got guys hitting, you got the third baseman, the shortstop, and the second baseman all taking ground balls. I mean, balls are flying all over the place. And we've had in the 14 years or 17 years here, we had a kid get hit in the face by a ball. I mean, it's amazing that more people don't get hurt during BP.
Mm.
We have had some incidents at the ballpark, a check swing. You know, our screen just goes to probably about 20 feet before the dugout. So I think, Scott, you're right. You are going to see screens down the line. Now, does that impact our business? You bet. I'll have more difficulty selling season tickets because of that. And you know what? It doesn't happen that often, but one time is enough. You're right.
Absolutely. We're talking to Scott Price and Scott Lane, both involved in Major League Baseball. Scott Price, you wrote the book Heart of the Game, Life, Death, and Mercy in the Minor Leagues. Where, if our listeners are interested, where can they go to find your book?
Well, the easiest place, of course, is Amazon.com, but you know, any bookstore. It just came out in paperback, you know, Barnes & Noble, Borders, or Scott Lane. You can go to Scott's office, and there's one copy, I think, swirling
exactly
around there, and you can borrow it from him.
There you go. Well said. Scott Lane, if they want to learn more about the West Michigan Whitecaps, where should they go?
Whitecapsbaseball.com.
Oh, that's great. Scott's, both of you, thanks so much for being our guests today on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
Thank you so much for having me. Scott, a joy to be with you.
Thank you. Enjoyed with you.
Boy, and that brings us to the end of another show. You've been listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400 or streaming over the internet at 1400kkzz.com. Coming up next is Leading Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. We end this show by saying, get out and be the change you want to see in the world. Remember, the leaders of the past didn't hold with today's conventions, and neither will the leaders of tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow when we have Julie Furman and Clay Shirky as our guests.